thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Father God, that your word is eternal, it's life-changing, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, Father God, for the interest of your word bringing and producing light and giving understanding to the simple. We thank you for understanding. We thank you for light. We thank you for grace, deposits, and truth impartations by the word of God and by the Spirit of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will destroy every yoke of bondage. We thank you that we have eyes to see and ears to hear this morning. And we give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. All right, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Everybody say, in Christ, in Him. So today and throughout this month, we're going to be in and out of in Him or in Christ thinking. So we're on a journey to reclaim, and restore our identity in Him. It's number one crime against Christians and humanity at whole by Satan. We call it spiritual identity theft. Because if you don't know who you are, you act like and behave like someone who you're not. Amen. It is one of the major doctrines that we need to understand and embrace as Christians, because this is the starting point and the launching pad of your purpose as a Christian. And we always say those purposes walk on two legs. Number one, who you are in Christ. And number two, who you are in the body of Christ. Now, some people think, well, you know, I'm going to be rewarded just for doing my good works and being a blessing to my family and making sure, you know, things are, I'm a good person. No, it's more going to be who you are in Christ. Did you grow up and did you flow in who you are in Christ and then who you were in the body of Christ? So we'll kind of work in and out throughout this series and that. And I know next week's we already have a message for that. But today we're going to start with in Him. Everybody say in Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter, next slide, guys. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It didn't say if anyone be in church, it says anyone be in Christ. So today I want you to think about as we take communion today, as you break the body and blood, he said, remember me, right? He said, do this in remembrance of me. And so when we take the communion elements today, I want you to remember, am I in Christ? Or am I living and operating outside of Christ? And we say it this way, if you're not in Christ, you're in crisis. Praise the Lord. Because Christians, that's what they've been, their DNA and their new creation being is designed to operate in Christ, not outside of Christ. Amen. And the gospel can be summed up in two words, in Christ. Amen. So this changes everything in your life and your destiny. In Christ, old things have passed away. And everything is new. Old things have passed away and everything is new. So the new creation or new creature, King James calls it creature, new creation in the New King James, which means brand new species and being. Brand new species and being, new in kind, new in quality, something unheard of or something that never existed before. And we've said it this way, you're so brand new, you have to introduce yourself to yourself. Now, the challenge that the devil brings to all of us is he tries to get us to identify with our past, our color, our culture. And we get hooked up, tied up, and tangled up in who we were BC, before Christ. Not who we are now, BC, because of Christ. See, our story, our testimony, our story of transformation should be, this is who I was BC, before Christ. This is who I am because of Christ, now that I'm in Christ. It should be totally different. But when people gather in families and around the house, they always go back and look back. And that's their main identity. Who they are based on who they were born by, what family they belong to, what color or culture they are of. How many know that's a deception of the enemy? To keep you trapped in who you were. He said, if any man be in Christ. So the question when we take communion this morning, where are you? Are you in him? Or you're living outside of him? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody here? 2 Corinthians 5:17 and in the Weymouth translation says it this way, so that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old state of things has passed away. A new state of things has come into existence. See, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he did not say, I hope that helped you just a little bit. We spent all of last month talking about the death, burial, resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus, the gospel. Everybody say the gospel. And so he didn't say, I didn't do all of that so that it helped you a little bit. Jesus did not die and go through the suffering of the cross and be raised from the dead just to help us a little bit. He brings radical and revolutionary change and transformation. So we say it this way as well. If you're not impressed, greatly impressed, where you're going, wow, whoa. Or if you're not impacted to a certain degree, a great degree, by who you are in Christ, you haven't seen that person lately. And some people are impressed with what the devil's doing and what the circumstances are dictating in their life more than what Jesus has done and what God has given you every single day, because every day is a new day in Christ. See, when you get in that place and get in that position of who you are in Christ, you go, whoa, wow. Glory to God. And some people talk and act like they're more impressed with what the devil's done that week to challenge them, instead of what God has done in Christ to bless you. Amen. And as we get to it today, you'll find that that was the first big event, temptation event, that the devil gave Jesus in the wilderness. After he got saved or baptized, and anointed with the Holy Spirit, went into the wilderness, fasted 40 days and 40 nights, guess who met him when he was hungry? The devil. So the devil will always challenge your identity. He did it with Adam and Eve, but he deceived Eve. Adam was right there, so you say both of them, but he deceived them. You're not going to die. You're going to be like God. Got them focusing on themselves than in Christ. If any man be in Christ, come on now, if we just chew on that for a little bit longer, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So on the cross, we know Jesus took our old sinful condition and in exchange made us the very righteousness of God in Christ. So listen to 2 Corinthians 5:21. I think it's up there. Yep. He made him to be sin, who knew no sin, to be sin for us that we might be made, become the righteousness of God in him. Everybody say, the righteousness of God in him. In him, we are right with God. In him, we have right standing with God. In him, we have the good position with the Father. In him, we can come before the Father, the presence of the Father, without any sense of fear, guilt, inferiority, or condemnation, or fear. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. That means you can run into the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You can go before the presence of the Father and say, Daddy, Father God, I worship you. Every one of us should have a healthy pattern of throne time. Everybody say throne time. That means you'd be able to go before the presence of God. You're his child. He's not going to kick you out of his presence because you're his child. Right? He's your very own father. You're part of the Father's family. Everybody should have throne time. Everybody say throne time. Everybody should have think time. Everybody say think time. Think time's time in the Word. Time where you spend in the Word. Time where you meditate in the Scriptures. Because it's your love letter from your Father God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was the Word that became flesh. Amen. So when you're in the Word, you're getting in Him. Praise God. So you have think time. That means you study the Word. You meditate in that Word. You put that Word in your mouth. You put that Word in your heart. You put that Word in your mind. Think time. Everybody say think time. And then everybody should have thank time. Everybody say thank time. Come on now. Say it with me. Throne time. Think time. Thank time. That means, are we behind on our praise and thanksgiving? We could be. Because the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So we know that in everything, in every circumstances, in every situation, we should be thankful and give thanks to God. Not because of what has happened, but because of who we belong to. And what Jesus Christ has already accomplished in his death, burial, and resurrection. Why do we rejoice in the Lord? Because we don't rejoice in the circumstances, because some people say, well, Pastor, my circumstances are ugly. My circumstances are nasty. They're problematic. It's a big deal. I'm facing some big giants here in my life. No, you don't rejoice because of the giants. You rejoice in the Lord because the Lord has already got you the victory. He's already defeated death, hell, and the grave. He's already defeated everything that could ever come against you. And because you're in him, you rejoice that I've already got the victory. Because of Jesus, I've already got the triumph. Because of Jesus, I already got the blessing. I've already got the breakthrough. So you need to have the thank time. Now, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Now tell me what a dictionary definition of always means. What does everybody understand what always means? All the time. Rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will what? Rejoice and be glad in him. Right? All right, so let's say this confession together. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a brand new creation in him. I am a partaker of his divine nature. And in me, he did not impute sin. I am righteous because of Jesus' blood and his finished works. They made me righteous. I am worthy to stand in the presence of God without any sense of fear, shame, guilt, condemnation, and inferiority. I've been given and granted divine approval and acceptance in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Jesus gets all the praise and the glory, but he gives me the credit and the credentials of having right standing with God. So you come in the presence of God, you say, well, I got the credentials. Jesus' blood made me worthy. That's what it says in Hebrews, come bold, boldness. We have boldness to enter into his holiness, his holy presence and holy place. Ooh, in Christ changes everything. You don't come before God on your own merits and what you've done. You come because of him. And we take communion because of him. We're in him. Praise the Lord. Y'all getting something out of this? All right. Next slide, guys. Thank you. So our identification with Christ starts right here. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives where? In me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Laubach translation says it this way. Christ took me to the cross with him, and I died there with him. Like I said in Resurrection Sunday service, that people look at the cross or the Palm Sunday service, people look at the cross and say, well, look what Jesus did. Look what Jesus did. But Christ took us there with him. God, in his infinite wisdom and his divine purposes, took us there with Christ through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, so that we can share the credit and the credentials just like we did it. That's called grace. Everybody say amazing grace. That's amazing grace. So he did it for us. The Distilled Bible says it this way. I consider myself having died and now enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. So every morning, brothers and sisters, precious saints of God, we got to wake up and say, Lord, I'm your glove. You're the hand. I'm the glove. Use me as you choose. I'm yours to command and control. Now, if you wake up and let this right here, your flesh, and your mind take over, then your spirit will be subjected to your body. But being body ruled means you're carnal. You're not spiritual. Living and being in Christ means you are spiritual. Can I have an amen to that? Romans 6:4 says we were buried with Christ. Paul says we were crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. He took us to the cross to be crucified with him. In Romans 6:4 it says we were buried with him. 6:11 says we reckon ourselves dead to sins. One translation says you are dead in sins, dead to sin, motionless as a corpse. The word reckon yourselves is an accounting term, which means in the light of reality of the truth that Jesus died for us and that he was our substitute and our sacrifice, we don't try to figure that out or figure up the facts. We just accurately record the facts. In Christ, I was buried with him. Now, how do you access these in Christ realities? By announcing them and acknowledging them with your faith. I am, what? Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ lives in me. In me, Ed Woodus, in me. And the life I now live today, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, in Christ, it's mortal in energy and unlimited in applications. How many of you have a smartphone? Everybody have a smartphone? They said that some smartphones can contain up to hundreds of thousands of apps. Now, in Christ, it's unlimited. We read it for the offering teaching. It's unlimited in applications. I can do, y'all know the scriptures, how many things? Now, how many things are all things? I can do all things through who? That's application. Who strengthens me? Then why do sometimes we say, I can't? I can't hear God. I can't do that. I can't give that. Holy Spirit tells you, why don't you give $10,000? I can't do it. There's no I can in the Bible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There was a man of God that was told to give $50,000 to Brother Hagin back in the 70s and 80s, early 80s, 70s. That's a lot of money. $50,000 in ministry. Now, he was skillful in his response, and we need to be skillful in our response to the Lord and to the Holy Spirit when he gives us an opportunity. He gives us an opportunity. What did he say? He thought about it. He said, I don't have it in my budget. I don't have it in my bank. And you're asking me, Lord, to give $50,000 to a man ministry and not my own? But what did he say? He said, in Christ, I have it. What's that based on? First, Philippians 4:13. I can do unlimited application. I can do all things. Through who? Not through my own strength, not through my own mental acuity, not through my own, stiffening up my jaw and trying to tough it out and try it out. I can do all things through who? Christ, who strengthens me. So that was a skillful response from that minister, that man of God, who said, Lord, in Christ, I have it. He didn't have one dime of $50,000, but he said he got to moving each week. And it took him a year and a half. He called the ministry and they said, you've given well over $50,000. If I say in him. And see why we had to take communion over this and say, Lord, if I've not been using these unlimited applications in Christ, then perhaps I've been living outside of Christ and not operating in him. Come on, that's good enough to comb your hair and come to church this morning. Amen. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Come on, just lift our hands and thank God. Hallelujah. So do we see the picture? What a picture. We did not stay dead with Christ. We've been justified and raised with him by the glory of God. So the whole thing that we talked about last month, every Sunday, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. Where are we right now? Ephesians says we're seated in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. That's our legal, legitimate seating. We've been raised up in royalty and in righteousness next to him, next to the Father God, in the highest position of the universe. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So this is the way God enables us to walk a new life. So you start from where he finished. You start from where he finished, right? Where did he finish? He finished after his ascension, which we talked about last Sunday, and he sat down at the Father next to, and we're seated in heavenly places in him. I know it's just kind of you got to chew on it a little bit. Praise the Lord. So this is where God enables us to walk a new life. Well, how are you walking like that? How are you living like that? Well, I'm in Christ. I'm not outside of Christ. I'm not living in crisis. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we have to stop looking at the yearbook of our past. If you want to experience your new identity in Christ, you cannot keep looking at your past, talking about your past. All that's dead. You're dead to all that. Everybody say, I'm dead to all that. You get around having lunch, family members over, most people start talking about and bringing up the past. You're dead to all that. Everybody say, I'm dead to all that. Old things have passed away. All things have become new, right? Every day is a new day in Christ. A new day where you go, wow, whoa, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So the devil, but the devil knows that if he can challenge or steal your identity, he can hinder your destiny. John 10:10 says, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. You can go to the next slide, guys. And I have come that you may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. So there's two things that the devil wants to steal from you. Write it down if you want taking notes. Number one, your identity. And number two, your future. Leave a little space between them so we can kind of go through there. So this is the theft cycle he uses. He takes your identity. He takes your future. He robs you of your inheritance. Now, listen, your inheritance is already available and accessible to you. It's not waiting for you to die. You know how some people, and I've done funerals, somebody asked me to do another funeral today. I used to work with this person a long time. Their wife asked me to do and speak to their funeral coming up. And, you know, every single time, everybody always asks about, you know, their insurance or their inheritance, how much money, and sometimes, you know, the kids fight over what the parents have. Everybody's seen some of that, right? Have we seen some of that sometimes? People want this, want that. But Jesus Christ already died. He is the testator of the new covenant. He's the mediator of the new covenant. We talked about it last week. So he's already died, so we're not waiting to be heir apparents. We're right now, present tense, heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. So when Jesus died and rose again from the dead, when he raised him from the dead, he made him lawful owner of all things. That's Hebrews chapter 1. He made Jesus lawful owner of all things. That means Jesus owns the whole universe. He inherited the whole world. So if you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus, that means you co-equal with Jesus Christ. That means nothing's unavailable and unaccessible to you. Is this too much? We need to take communion right now? Or y'all, everybody good? Somebody say hallelujah. So he takes your future so you don't get your inheritance, so you walk around like a bum and a beggar and a borrower as a Christian. And everybody said, well, that's normal. We'll just struggle through life and shuffle through life until we get out of here. No, you have an inheritance of healing. You have an inheritance of divine life. You have an inheritance of prosperity. You have an inheritance, come on now, of victory. You have an inheritance of blessings, because Ephesians 6:1-3 says we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. God says, I'm going to put all the blessings that there is, that all the blessings that could ever exist in Christ, and then I'll put you in him so that you can access and have available all spiritual blessings. Come on, everybody say, whoo, thank you, Jesus. And then your destiny gets hindered if you don't take, if you let the enemy steal your identity, your future, your inheritance, and then your destiny is robbed. Those two legs to which God put your life purpose in as a believer, who you are in Christ, who you are in the body of Christ. He strips you of that, he can get the rest of it. Let's go to the next slide, guys. Everybody good? What time is it right now? Okay, we're still good. We're still good. Okay, identity. Everybody say, my identity. Now, the question I always ask is, has the devil stolen your identity so far or in some points during this year? January, February, March, April. Have you maintained your identity, your spiritual identity, intact? Just a question. Amen. All right, so the enemy knows that you have something. Your identity is based on being in Christ. Everybody say, in Christ. Your spiritual identity is like your passport. If you go to an airplane, you're traveling overseas, they're going to ask you for what? Your passport, your identification. It's the Word of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And your identity of who you are in Christ is directly tied to your inheritance, the blessings of what you possess in Christ. So the devil wants to steal your identity. The devil wants to steal your identity because he doesn't want you to know what you possess in Christ. Because once you realize that I've got victory, I've got blessings, I've got authority, I've got triumph, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ, then I'm going to whip him every time he shows up in my house or in my family. So the best way to keep your identity is stolen is to keep you from knowing your Heavenly Father. Because your identity is not something individualistic. It's tied up to who your Father is. Because when you're a child of God, you're a heir of God. And you're a joint heir with Jesus. Does that make sense? Everybody got that? Everybody follow me so far? So your individual identity and your corporate identity. How many of you have been to Corpus Christi? Corpus means, is the Latin word for corporate or body. Right? So who you are in Christ, individual identity, your corporate identity is who you are in the body of Christ. Amen. Your corporate identity is your role, your race, your relationships, your responsibilities in the church or in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. So he tries to take your identity by either not helping you not walk in who you are in Christ or keeping you from serving and seeing who you are in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's lift our hands and thank God for that. Hallelujah. See, the church overall, we as a church have a corporate identity. Unity is not uniformity. Unity comes from agreeing with the head, Jesus Christ. So that means individually we all say, Lord, I'm under your command and your control. And then we allow the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, to put us in our place and our position as he chooses. to minister under the anointing that he chooses, not us. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So that corporate identity can't happen unless agreement is with the head. So let's just say this sister agrees with the head, this sister does, but I don't. He doesn't. What do we have? Come on now. Disunity. So when we come through the doors, we got to agree with the head. Lord, I'm yours to command and control. If we're in control, he's not in control. Hallelujah. And what happens? Just like the Bible says about communion, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. There's one cause, disunity and division, for sickness and weakness and premature death. People don't agree with the head, so they're not going to be in agreement with one another, because I'm out here doing my thing. I'm doing my own things. I'm calling my own shots. I decide if I'm going to come to church or not. I decide if I'm going to be active in church or not. That's not agreement with the head. Everybody here, or are you gone home already? So how you live under the lordship and leadership of Jesus is so important. When you say Jesus is Lord, that means I choose to live all of life under his leadership and lordship. Anytime, anywhere, 24/7, 365, without hesitation, reservation, or limitation. Somebody say glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. So when I agree with the head, now I can come in agreement with. So when I make decisions, I'm not letting the Lord decide, because that's what lordship means. The lordship principle of Jesus means he decides for me. He decides where I go. He decides how I flow. He decides for me. It means Jesus gets to tell me what to do. Amen. And I come in agreement with that. I come into divine alignment vertically, and now I can be in alignment horizontally. And sometimes the devil tricks us. Now, you don't have to do that. You don't have to go today. You don't have to pray for the service. You don't have to do all that. You don't have to give all that. Who's deciding? Come on, y'all. Come on, church. We're trying to close up, but I'm on assignment today. Somebody say hallelujah. So we don't want to take communion unworthily. Unworthily manner means I'm not covered. I'm not committed to the head. Praise the Lord. I'm not just drinking snacks here. We're not just giving out snacks and wafers. This is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that I'm covenantly enjoining myself or rejoining myself to. Somebody say praise the Lord. See, comparison is the and competition are the fruit of foolishness. We should not allow the devil to steal our identity, who we are in Christ, and our second identity, which is who we are in the body of Christ, in that order. When the church works together, it's phenomenal what we can do. Because Jesus said this way, we're two or three. He said, if there's two or three, it's corporate. Are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of, the head's there. Why? Because there's agreement and there's accord, unity. And he said, there am I in the midst of them. Then he said, they'll get anything their we ask the Father. It's phenomenal when we come in line. But we got to agree with the head. We don't just join prayer and just stare and look and say, well, I'm not going to add anything. I'm just going to be a spectator, not a participator. No, we're supposed to do our part and say, I'm going to agree. I might not be leading prayer, but I'm going to add my agreement. I'm going to add my faith to it. Woo, y'all making me work too hard this morning. Woo, I feel like I've been working for 8 hours here. Glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. Well, it must be needed, right? Then your future. Let's close out with this one. Your future. Thieves don't rob empty houses. You go by a junky house, nothing's in there. Or typically there's nothing in there. They come because you have something. Every one of you, your future's bright. And there's no end in sight. Every day is a new day in Christ. So the devil knows that. Every day is a day of victory, a day of blessing, a day of breakthrough, a day of triumph, a day where miracles are passing, coming to you or coming by you. Every single day. So the devil says, well, I'm going to stop all that. I'm gonna cancel all that. So he's going to try to steal your future. Don't let the devil steal your future. Time is a limited part of our future. Eternity is our big future. So what does God give us? He cuts us out a little space. And that space is called T-I-M-E. And if you read Revelations before, you read where he told these different churches and people in those churches, I'm giving them space to repent. So in other words, space to turn things around. Why are you here? Time is your most important commodity. He told us to redeem the time because the days are evil. He told us to make the most use of our time because we always say it this way. Everybody is a steward, a manager, a keeper of their time, their talent, your treasure, and your testimony. Your time, everybody say time, my talent, my treasure, and my testimony. So God calls us to be good stewards over that. But the first one is time. What did you do with your time? Amen. Now here's the clincher. You ready for this one? Tomorrow is a product of today. What kind of future are you producing? Are you living for the rest of your natural life or are you living for eternity? Too many Christians are trying to save and secure their natural lives. They're trying to make sure I live longer in comfort and convenience and casual. Without even building or preparing things for their eternal life. You have an eternity life that you're preparing for. Because this life is a preparation for the next life. See, not doing what you're supposed to be doing on time and in time opens the door for the enemy to steal your future. So you're supposed to redeem the time every day. In other words, make your time count for God. The kingdom of God, your future in God, or the days and our days will become evil. So in other words, when you take your time and give it to God, he will help you to redeem it. Because you're supposed to make the most of every opportunity to be a witness, to be a worker, to be a worshiper, server of God. Think about it. How many days this week, this month, last month, the months before this year, have you blown and wasted time? That's what we tell the Lord. I'm sorry, I repent for wasting my time. How many Jeopardy shows can we watch? How many Wheel of Fortune shows can we watch? How many Family Feud shows can we watch? How many evening shows can we watch? How many social media things can we scroll through? Ooh, glory to God. Y'all making me work real hard today. So here's the clincher. Evil is anything or anyone that takes you away from your God-intended purpose and plan for your life. So when my life counts, you can go ahead and cut it off, guys. We'll pick it up next time. When my life counts for you in this time, when I get to eternity, life's going to count for. Now, I set you up during the offering and the preface. We're supposed to be thinking about who? God. Who's next? Others. And then who? Ourselves. So God set it up that way, so we invest our time for God and make it count for who? Others. And God will make it count for me when I get over on the other side. Praise God. Stand to your feet. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How many get something out of that today? All right. I didn't even get finished, but that's okay. We'll pick it up next time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just thank the Lord. Just put on some good music, guys.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, talk to the Lord about your time.